All right, guys, I'd like for you to turn in your Bibles to 1 Corinthians chapter 12. 1 Corinthians chapter 12. So we've had a few weeks here that we've a couple of weeks break, but we're getting back into a series that we're doing about the reality is that when you became a believer in Jesus Christ, of course, His Spirit entered into your life. You were saved. But there's something more than that. There's more than just, I'm okay for heaven later on. He right now has something that He wants you to do. It says in Ephesians chapter 2, verse 10, that you are His workmanship. Another way to pronounce that, if you translate that, is a masterpiece. You are a work of art that He created to do good works. He's got something He wants you to do. And He says, but the problem is we think in terms of, well, that maybe He wants me to be a pastor or a missionary or a Sunday school teacher. No, I think we trivialize that when we think about what He has for us to do. He has things that He wants you to accomplish in your life for Him, where you live, where you work, with the people you hang out with, what family you belong to. He has works that He has created for you to do for them. And so we've spent a few weeks talking about all of that. I felt like today I needed to talk a little bit more about that because you might be hearing what I'm saying, you might be thinking about what I'm saying, and you're like, yeah, I can see that, George, I can see that, but I just don't see how that's possible because I don't have abilities, I don't have resources, there's just no way. I must be the exception to the rule. I'm the asterisk in the Bible that's got my name written down in the footnotes. No, that's not you. Every single one of you, no matter what part of life you're in, is important. God has something for you. And it isn't just that He said, I want you to do this. I want you to realize, when we talk about doing His works, He doesn't just tell you to do something. He gives you the ability to do it. And that's what we're going to talk about today. We're going to talk about Him giving us the ability to do whatever He's telling us to do. And you say, well, you know, it's great that the band did great, but I can't play a guitar. I'm not talking about the ability to play a guitar. That takes discipline. I heard a discussion this week about freedom, about when, like, my wife plays a guitar, she practices. Now, if you give me the guitar, you don't want to hear me. Okay? You give her a guitar, I sit in the room, she's in the other room, and it's beautiful. Okay? But that's discipline. She disciplines herself to have the freedom to pick up a guitar and play it. You know, when you prepare to run for a marathon, if you say, George, I want you to go run a marathon, pick me up 100 yards away, I'll be laying on the side of the road, okay? But for some people, they discipline themselves so that they have the freedom to run the marathon, right? Those are abilities. I'm not talking about abilities. I'm talking about gifts from God for you to do the things He calls you to do for people. So let's look at this passage together. We're going to look at verses 4 through 27. I'm not going to read the whole passage out to you. I'm going to read part of it, and then we'll read the second part later in the message. So I want us to focus, first of all, on verses 4 through 11. So if you notice in your Bibles, look at what Paul writes, starting with verse 4. Now there are a variety of gifts, but the same Spirit. There are varieties of service, but the same Lord. There are varieties of activities, but it is the same God who empowers them all in everyone. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. For to one is given through the Spirit the utterance of wisdom, and to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. To another, faith by the same Spirit. To another, gifts of healing by one Spirit. To another, the working of miracles. To another, prophecy. To another, the ability to distinguish between spirits. To another, various kinds of tongues. To another, the interpretation of tongues. All these are empowered by one by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. All right, so as we look at this passage, I'm going to focus on one issue here. You're gifted. If you know Jesus Christ, you're gifted. You just need to realize that. You're gifted. He has gifted you. Okay, so let me point out four things here. First of all, though there are many gifts and works, there's only one God. First thing he's going to point out, because you say, well, why didn't we read verses 1 to 3 first of all? Well, verses 1 to 3, he's addressing a difficulty that they're having in the Corinthian church. They were having some crazy stuff happening with people cursing God and everybody saying that's of the Spirit. And so he's basically saying, nope, that's not of the Spirit. So then he gets into a discussion about spiritual gifts, what they really are. And so what he's going to start out with is that while there are a variety of gifts, he talks about a variety of manifestations and works, a variety of things that we do, we all have one God. There's one God guiding us all. So when you look at our church, there's a variety of gifts here. What kind of gifts, George? Well, I guess I have the foremost gift that can be seen, and that's some people have the gift of teaching, communicating God's word. I have that gift. But there are others who have gifts that I wish I had sometimes. What do you mean? Compassion. Being there for others. Listening and hearing. Okay, you're hearing about somebody in the church who's hurting. And there are people here that they just feel moved by God to pick up the phone and call that person and say, I'm praying for you, or write a card. There are others who have the gift where they maybe hear that somebody has a need and they get in the vehicle and go over and help them with the problem. See, those are all works. We think of works in terms of religious works. No, it's helping each other. It's being there for each other, helping us to grow in our relationship with Christ together. It's helping us get through life, right? You got to remember, we're talking about a church here at the time, in the time in which they're living in. It was not like a popularity thing to be a Christian. It was an oppressive thing to be a Christian. So they're getting beat up on by the world throughout the week, and everybody's different, so they go through different things, but God gifts us and gives us works to do to help each other. So this is the point he's making. There are many gifts, many works, but there's only one God. So you got to realize there's one God guiding all of us. Here's the second thing he says. Every believer has been gifted by God for the benefit of everyone. Look at what it says, verse 7. Here's what he says, verse 7. To each is given the manifestation of the Spirit for the common good. Let's break that down. Manifestation. Well, that's the empowerment of God's Spirit in your life, a gift for you to use. For what? The common good. Now, does everybody understand what common good is? That means for the benefit of everyone. Do you understand? That means for everyone to benefit from. The problem is in our society today, we're so selfish, so self-centered. Everything is about what I want, what I need, and everything is geared towards that. But that's not what God wants us to be. He wants us to not be focused on self. He wants us to be focused on what are the needs around us and how can I help them? The problem is we're so self-centered that when God shows us something, we say things like, I don't need this today, Lord. I'm too busy. Really? Really? You know, it's like about a month ago, I was in a restaurant and waiting for my order, and there was another guy there, and he said, oh, wow, hey, I need to talk to you. And I'm like, oh, I'm busy right now. And yeah, okay. So, and I thought, man, do I really want to talk to him? Because I don't know that I want, it's not somebody who comes to our church. And I was like, man, do I really want to talk to him? So I was like, okay, God, are you telling me I need to talk to him? So I was like, okay, we'll set up a time. Sure enough, we set up a time. And it actually turned out to be a great meeting. And I was of some benefit to him because he needed to talk to somebody. And even though my schedule was what it was, and I'm like, oh, I got to focus on myself, the reality is God had a different plan. And God said to me later, this isn't about you, George. This is about everyone. And so he's gifted you. You're gifted. If you believe in him and you have him in your life, he's given you these abilities to be there for others. To be there. Here's the third thing I want you to see from this section. Your giftedness will differ from those of others. So what he gifts you with is not going to be the same gift that he gifts others with. Makes sense, doesn't it? If he has a group of people who come together as a body of Christ, as a family of God, of course he's going to want to have people who have different gifts because there are going to be different needs. And not everybody can meet the same need, right? And isn't it good that we all don't have the same gift? Sometimes we need people to have different gifts to minister to our needs, right? And so your giftedness is going to be different. That's what he says here in verses 8 to 10. Look at what he says there. For to one was given the Spirit through the utterance of wisdom, to another the utterance of knowledge according to the same Spirit. By one, the same Spirit, to another the gifts of healing of one Spirit, to another the working of miracles, to prophecy and the ability to distinguish. Everybody has different gifts, and that's okay. Because it finally leads to the conclusion he has in this section. Look at what he says in verse 11. All these are empowered by one and the same Spirit who apportions to each one individually as he wills. Here's what I want you to see. The Spirit empowers the gifts that he has chosen for you. He empowers them. But did you catch that last part? That he has chosen for you. All right, so let me just stop. Why did I want to go through this passage? Well, because sometimes we think, yeah, God, you've created good works for me. I don't know what I can do. I'm worthless. I'm a failure. Here's my past stuff. I can't do anything for you. And so we get these mindsets that I'm just worthless and I'm just here, Lord, hoping that maybe there's something better in my relationship with you. No, you don't understand, okay? First of all, we all fail. And yeah, sometimes failure disqualifies us from some things, but that failure doesn't mean you're totally worthless. The enemy wants to tell you that. The accuser of the brethren will tell you you're totally worthless, but the enemy is trying to defeat you. God doesn't come along and say to you, no, I've got something for you. And so the passage we just read here in verse 11 is telling us that the Spirit of God, the Holy Spirit, has gifted you. He has given you certain things that he wants you to do. Now, did you notice how special that is? It's special because the Spirit doesn't say, I'm giving everybody this gift. No, he's saying, I'm giving you this gift, George. I'm giving you this ability. And here's the wonderful thing about this ability. I'm going to empower you to use it. There's a reason why you're here. There's a reason why you're a part of the church family. There's a reason why you're a part of the family of God. Because I want to use you to bless the family of God. I want to use you to minister to the needs of others in the family of God. I want to do works through you. This isn't about you, George. This is about the others that you are a part of. This is about family. And so I've given you these abilities for you to use. Now, I'm talking about myself. That's you too. That's you. He's gifted you for the benefit of others. It's not for your benefit. That's just pure selfishness. That leads to nothing but destruction in your life when you're just focused on yourself. But it's for the benefit of others. There's something he wants to do through you. Yeah, but I don't know, George. I don't know. Well, I think Paul anticipated that. I think he anticipated that some of his readers would read this and say, yeah, I see that he's the one who gives it to me and he empowers me, but I'm insignificant. I'm not setting the world on fire. The world doesn't even know I exist. Yeah, okay, well, I want you to listen to what he says, verse 12 to 27. Here's what he says. For just as the body is one and has many members, and all the members of the body, though many, are one body, so it is with Christ. For in one spirit we were all baptized into one body, Jews and Greeks, slaves or free. All were made to drink of one spirit. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. If the foot would say, because I am not a hand, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less part of the body. For if the ear would say, because I am not an eye, I do not belong to the body, that would not make it any less a part of the body. If the whole body were an eye, where would be the sense of hearing? If the whole body were an ear, where would be the sense of smell? But as it is, God arranged the members in the body, each one of them as he chose. For if all were a single member, where would the body be? As it is, there are many parts, yet one body. The eye cannot say to the hand, I have no need of you, nor the head to the feet, I have no need of you. On the contrary, the parts of the body that seem to be weaker are indispensable. And on those parts of the body that we think less honorable, we bestow the greater honor. And our representative parts are treated with greater modesty, which our more presentable parts do not require. But God has composed the body, giving greater honor to the part that lacked it, that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same care for one another. If one member suffers, all suffer together. If one member is honored, we all rejoice together. Now you are the body of Christ and individually members of it. Four things I want to point out here. First of all, I'm going to call this section, You're Important. Nobody here should say, oh, I go to Kermansville Christian Church, but I'm not that important. They won't miss me. Yeah, we will. Because if you're not here, you're missed. Why? Because God put you here for a reason. And he gifted you to benefit all of us for some reason. And if you're not here, we hurt. Here's what he says. Okay, four things. Here it is. First one, you are part of one body of believers that is diverse. You're part of one body of believers. I think we all recognize that, right? Every single one of us is different from the other person. Aren't you glad for that? Aren't you glad that we're all different? We choose different things? Because I'm looking around the room. Nobody's wearing the same stuff here today, right? You're not wearing the same clothes, thankfully, right? We didn't all drive the same. Look, if we looked down in the parking lot, nobody else driving the same car or truck, right? You might think they should all drive your vehicle, but that's not normal, okay? We're all diverse here. We don't all have the same haircuts. I know there's some groups that do that. We're not making everybody dress the same way. We're diverse. In fact, if I were to talk to you, you've got a different opinion about everything. If we're talking about football teams, we're not all Steeler fans here. I know that because the one guy who's an Eagles fan is sick today. Sometimes he wears a shirt that says that. We used to have a lady that had the audacity to wear Dallas. Yeah, but my point I want you to see is, he's wanting to make a point, we're one body, right? But in that body, there's diversity. And it's okay. There's such a mindset today that everybody's got to be the same. That's not possible. That's not possible. And that's not possible in a church. It's not meant to be that way in a church. He says, you are a part of one body of believers that is diverse. We see that in verse 12 and 13. But here's what I want you to see in verse 14. Look at what he says here. For the body does not consist of one member, but of many. Here's what I want you to see. Unity as a body does not imply uniformity. Unity as a body does not imply that we be all the same, meaning doing the same thing, exercising the same gifts. We need somebody to have mercy. But we also need somebody to be a prophet. Somebody who calls it like it is. We need somebody to be compassionate. But we also need others to serve. Do you understand what I'm saying? Because you know what it's like. So let's say you have a need in the church and you got everybody coming up and they're encouraging. They got the gift of encouragement. Well, encouragement is good, but the problem is you need somebody who'll come alongside of you and help you get through it. If you had a church of just nothing but encouragers, we'll all be feeling encouraged, but we're all still suffering because nobody can help us through it, right? This is the point. Unity as a body does not imply uniformity. Why do you think he saves us all from our different backgrounds and puts us all together? Because we all have something to give, something to be a part of his church. That's what's so wonderful and beautiful. Here's the other thing. We look at verses 15 to 16. Every part of the body is essential and holds significance. Now, I'm not going to read the passage to you, but I'll just remind you what it says. So it says, you know, one part of the body, the hand can't say to the foot, I don't need you. Or I don't need this. Or, you know what, I don't need my heart. Everything on the outside is what it is. I don't need my heart. Yeah, try to live without a heart, right? Try to live without a pancreas. That's pretty insignificant. We don't think about that, do we? You can't say we all have to be the eye, right? That's the point he's making here. Every part is needed. Every part is essential. So what does that mean? You are essential to the church. If we're going to function in this world and do good works in this world for him that he has created for us to do, you've got to own the mindset that you're significant, that you are essential to us in order to do what we need to do. And then finally, here it is. Look with me, verse 25 to 27. You've been gifted not for your own benefit, but for the benefit of others. Look at what he says in verse 25. But that there may be no division in the body, but that the members may have the same, notice what it says there, the same care for one another. If one member suffers, then all suffer together. So he's not just talking about gifts and how important you are. He's talking about there's a reason for you being gifted by him. It's so that we can, what? Care for each other. Because if one part of us hurts, there's a spiritual dimension here in which what? All of us hurt. We're part of him. So you're gifted and you're important. So how do we wrap this up? I want you to take your eyes off yourself. It's only natural that we do that, right? It's only natural that we look at what we want, what we need, or what's happening around us. And when we focus on those three things, we always have our eyes on ourselves. And so therefore, we become oblivious. And I mean that, we become oblivious to what's going on around us. And so that when we gather together, if you're so focused on yourself, what you want, what you need, and what's going on in your life, you become oblivious to the fact that maybe there's somebody else around you that right now has a need. Maybe there's somebody around you that's feeling alone, that wonders, does God care? Does God even know what's going on in their lives? And the reality is that if we would just get our eyes off of ourselves and open them to whatever the Spirit may be leading us to do, and open them to look around us and see where He guides us to do, because He's the one who's prepared the works for us to do, right? He planned them out for us. He's the one who's gifted you. If we would be His hands or His feet or His mouth or His eyes and be the one there to be with for people, and what kind of place would this be? It would be a greater place, wouldn't it? But so the first thing is, get your eyes off yourself. The second thing is, okay, recognize that he's given you some things to do, that He's given you abilities to do. So start talking to Him and say to Him, okay, Lord, what do You want me to do? Don't walk in here with the attitude of, well, I hope George's got a good one today for me. Yeah, that may be positive or it may be negative. Probably a lot of times it'll be negative, okay? But here's what I'd say. The better attitude to walk in is, Lord, I'm here to meet with You. Who do You want me to meet with? What have You for me today to be a blessing in someone's life? Maybe it's somebody individually, or maybe it's, okay, God's saying to you, hey, help out with Project Grace, be a blessing to someone else, or do this, or do that, or volunteer here, or do whatever. Maybe it's during the week, not even if it's in a service, but during the week, you are witnessing something, maybe at Walmart, or at Sheetz, or whatever, and God is saying to you, hey, how about you reach out there? I got something for you to do. But see, if we're focused on ourselves, we would never be open to that. And don't excuse it away when He tells you to do something because you say, well, I don't know that I have the ability to do that. Wait a minute now. Who's the one telling you to do it? Who's the one who says, I will gift you and empower you through the Spirit to do it? You are His masterpiece. He's got things for you to do. Realize it. And allow Him to use you. Let me pray for you.